How many have ever heard the phrase fruit of the Spirit before? Okay, good, good. We're all on starting ground together then. If you want some of the notes for today's sermon, all you have to do is download our app. And on the app, you can go to Sunday Sermon, and you can get the notes. If there's anything that you want to have, make sure to save it to your phone or whatever digital device you're working on. So here's what I'm going to ask for permission from you. Can I take about 6-7 minutes and set up what we're going to be doing for the next couple weeks? And that's roughly where I was hoping you'd go, yeah, sure, okay. I just want to set up our conversation, and then I got to be real honest with you. So let's do this. First of all, we're going to be reading out of Galatians 5, 22 through 26. It's going to be kind of the key scripture that we're working off. Why? That's where we find the fruit of the Spirit. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their... crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoke, and envy each other. So this is the scripture, Galatians, that we're going to be working out of. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go week one, love, because it's the first one on the list. And then every week, consecutive weeks, we'll just be doing another fruit of the Spirit. Also, every week, I'm going to kind of do some backstory, kind of where did we get into this point of Galatians that we're now talking about the fruit of the Spirit? What's the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? How do we cultivate seeds? And so every week, we'll kind of do some type of backstory. Then we'll talk about our fruit of that day. And then at the end of every sermon, we're going to have some takeaways. Because if we want love in our life, how do we become more loving? Like, what is a practical thing? And it may be too simple for you, but I'm a simple person. Good, no one said amen on that one. I was nervous. I thought you would. So, but what is a practical takeaway that we can walk away with? So, wow, is that the next slide? Throw the next slide up for me. Yeah, that doesn't look right. Okay, so here's what I want to do now. I don't think it's going to be worth having that slide up because apparently my formatting changed. So I'm going to do this back and forth. I'm a little flustered right now. Okay, but if we want a fruit in our life, then we have to be very intentional to cultivate that fruit. But here's a key sentence, and this is in the app. Any place in our life where we continue to struggle or have sin issues, this is a key indicator that a fruit of the Spirit is not active in our life. So every place in your life where you are struggling, where you continue to have issues, that means you are producing the wrong kind of fruit. So for instance, if you want love, but all you have is hate, then that's actually the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. So we have to work on not hating and more on loving. If you want joy, but all you have is despair in your life, that is a fruit that you need to focus on. And anytime that despair, or can I say this, anytime anxiety pops its ugly head up, you know you don't have peace. So a negative fruit that pops up is a key indicator that you do not have an active fruit of the Spirit in your life. So as we go through these, this should be a test on, are you at peace? Because if not, or here, we'll do this one. Are you impatient when you're driving? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, yes. Okay, like I didn't think that one would be that big, but yeah. Here's what needs to happen then. How can you intentionally seek patience then? So that's what we're going to be doing over the next couple weeks, actually 9 weeks. This is our summer teaching series. So having said that, week number one, say the word love. Okay, so going to be completely honest with you. This sermon has been the hardest sermon that I've had to put together in a year. All week long, struggling with it, working on it. And here's why. Here's why I kept coming back to. How am I going to take 30 minutes and talk to you about God, who is love, and boil it down to this simple thought on love? Like, I couldn't get it. And then there's all kinds of love in the Bible. So there's one that's just about it's a friend. It's a relationship. One is a sexual. And then this one that we're talking about is actually the word agape. And have you ever heard that word before? That's the big one. That's the biggest one. So how am I going to talk to you about love in this short amount of time to express to you that this is something that we need? And then here's what I was going to do. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. You guys know what that's actually, it's called the love chapter. And if you've ever been to a wedding, I promise you have heard this before. Love is patient, love is kind until you get in your first fight, right? Like, so then I was just going to go through 1 Corinthians 13 and just go word by word explaining what each one of those were. And then that's when I realized that you would probably call me out for being a very lazy pastor at that point, because let's be honest, didn't take a lot of work. So I've been going back and forth. And this morning I kind of settled in on a thought. So I'm not going to have all the scriptures on the board for you, because can I say this? I've been cultivating this thought for a while now, and it makes sense to me. Hopefully it makes sense to you. And here's what thought is. When it comes to our God, he doesn't have an attribute known as love. He is love. And where us, we need to continue cultivating the gift of the Spirit of love to the point that we become love. But here's the reality of mankind. The reality is, we're the ones that hurt ourselves the most. Think about this. How many of you have ever heard of Adam and Eve? All the way beginning of your Bible, in the Bible. Adam and Eve, first two people in a garden. Do you realize that they were originally naked, but they weren't nude? Why? Because God had clothed them with something. And I've heard some people say it was a glory suit. Some people say that it was a light suit. I believe that it was love that he covered. He covered them with this love, but think about this. Who took off that suit? It was Adam and Eve. And the moment mankind stripped love off of us, we started making accusations against each other. Eventually, brothers killed each other. And we ran from God. But here's the most interesting thing that I think doesn't get near the press that it should. When we constantly ran from God, God's constantly running towards us. He pursues us out of what? Out of love. He pursues us to have this relationship with him, not a heavy-handed, not some overlord God that's going to beat us down. Do you guys know, have you ever heard that the Old Testament God is the ruthless, vengeful God? Have you ever heard that before? Do you know the Old Testament says more about love than the whole New Testament? It was a God pursuing mankind, and when we were stripping love off of us, God continued to clothe us. God continued to pursue us. And by the way, this pursuit is to the point of death. In the New Testament, one of the authors, his name's John. I love the way he writes in John 20, the type of love I think I want to tell you about today. And it says this, and again, I don't have the scriptures on the board for you. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to see the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. So, quick pause. Just so you know, we are 3 days after the crucifixion. John is writing that Mary just went to the tomb to find that it was empty. But John, and by the way, I love this about him. She came back to Simon Peter and the other disciple, which by the way is him. He didn't write, and me. He said this, the one that Jesus loved. So he's going to define himself as the one that Jesus loves. And he goes on. And they said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, right, also started going to the tomb. And this here, I have no idea why John put it in here, but this is why I love him. So both were running. The other disciple, being John again, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I'm not sure why that's important. But I love the thought that this competitive guy made sure to let you know that I outran Peter. And by the way, I'm the one that Jesus loves. Like, he just keeps saying it over and over. So they bent over and looked into the strips of the linens lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Peter, you know, the guy that I just outran, eventually came along beside and he went straight in the tomb to saw the strips laying there. And then verse 9 goes on to say this. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. How did they not know that he had to rise from the dead? He actually told them, I will be back in 3 days. But they weren't understanding the totality of the love that Jesus was trying to show them. What is the kind of love that I'm describing? It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that in John 15, he actually says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for someone else. You want to know the type of love that we need to begin demonstrating, that we need to begin showing, that we need to understand that Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. And by the way, if you have no idea what I mean by that, if you're like, hey, this church thing is new to me and Jesus thing is new to me. So we were singing a lot of songs earlier, and one of them actually says, God was so interested in us being with him that he stepped out of heaven onto earth. 2,000 years ago, and by the way, that's just a quick side nugget just to make sure we all know this. 2,000 years ago, we believe that God stepped out of eternity into the temporal zone in order to walk with us. He clothed himself with flesh. And for 33 and a half years, he was on earth with mankind, walking with us and talking with us, but then ultimately to die for us. Because we had a massive debt owed that no one could pay. And Jesus Christ pulled out his checkbook, if I can say it this way, and died for us. And then here's the most beautiful part. Then Jesus said, hey, I'm going to leave you now. But the reason I'm leaving you is because I'm stuck in one body in one place, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. So from the beginning of time, God in the Old Testament put himself in a box. This is how many have ever seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark? That was his home, yeah. And don't look at it, no. Okay, so God actually put himself in a box in order to be with mankind. Then Jesus put himself in flesh so that he could be with mankind. Now the Holy Spirit is with us because God was always interested and loved us so much that he pursued us and he's with us. And so this self-sacrificial type of love in Colossians, the most interesting scripture, it actually says, above all, clothe yourself in love. I love the thought of clothing ourselves in love because if you think back to Adam and Eve, the love that we should have always embraced, we were constantly trying to strip off. And now God is saying to us, no, 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 I want you to put it on. I want it to be who you are and kind of what you are. And so in clothing ourselves in love, the question goes, so how do we do this? And so here's where I want to get super practical, and I know this is going to sound weird, it's saying that out loud at church, but if you need love in your life, step one, pray and ask for it. Ta-da. See, I didn't think it would get a big amen because it seems so natural, but if this is something that we really do want, why don't we ask God to help us with it? Now, you got to be careful. Because anytime you ask God to do something for you, he's probably not going to do it the way you wanted it done. That's a hallelujah, amen every time. So how many know we've had just a ton of rain here lately? And a friend of mine who's in the farming industry, I didn't know this, but farmers can't just go out and plant seed whenever they want. The soil needs to be right, temperature needs to be right. But here's something that's been happening to some farmers. Some farmers have planted their field, but so much rain came, it's washed the seeds away. And so guess what you have to do? You have to go back out there and plant it again. So step one, when you pray to ask God to help understand love in your life so you can become self-sacrificial, know this, there's a chance storms of life are going to come trying to wash away that seed. But you have to be consistent to cultivate that seed in your life and go back out there and plant it again, go back out there and do it again. And then here's the next thing. And in order to show you or tell you what I want to say here, I got to be really, really honest with you about a story. So lately, I've been doing some work around the community, blah, blah, blah. And I've ran into an individual. And I mean this, and if you judge me, you know, that's more on you than me. But here it is. I can't stand this person. So annoying. Every time we talk, I actually get angry. I have one time I was at my house, my wife sitting next to me. I put the phone down and I said, how is it that I can't even talk to this person? I think I'm a pretty nice guy. Amen. Okay, so I actually think I'm not hard to get along with. Now, if you ask my wife, is he difficult to live with? Whole different story there. Whole different story. But when it comes to just interacting, let's say it this way. Trying to be nice one human to another. Not even a high standard. And this person just irritates and grits the soul of my life every time they talk. And I'm trying to be vague. And so I'm serious, okay? So am I the only person who has someone like this? Okay, thank you. Thank you, because I'm sweating and feeling judged right now. But I actually told my wife, I go, I can't figure this relationship out. And I, you know how you say things, I'm going to just be friendly, but I don't have to be their friends. And it was interesting because I did one key thing that started changing things. When I would hang up the phone, when I would be done with the interaction, rather than letting my mouth put out curses, rather than my mouth running off the handle, rather than me giving my opinion and going off on this individual, I started doing one simple thing. I started blessing, not cursing. I started speaking positive. And wouldn't you know, the last time I saw this person, it wasn't as bad as it used to be. But the key is, they didn't change, I changed. My mentality, my thinking, my belief system on how I need to interact with this person. So guess what? This whole last story, I'm not allowed to tell you because I can only speak positive things over them. No. But it's amazing what happens when I change my outlook on someone else, how they start looking different. And so I would say this. Number one, you got to pray. You got to ask God to give you this type of love. The second thing I'd say to you when it comes to practicing love, practicing this gift of this fruit of the Spirit, what are you cultivating into your ground? What are you planting into your ground? And when love feels like it's running dry because the storms of life came and washed it away, what are you willing to do to plant it again? Because this needs to be this act of self-sacrificial love. And by the way, when I say love, you lay down your life for someone else. You know, when it comes to my wife and I, unfortunately, some places in my life that I've grown the most usually comes at her expense. Usually, we don't sit down and go, hey, we're going to let God do this work in our life right now. What happens? A situation arises. David's stupid enough to wrestle his kids and get a floor burn. I know you guys are all wondering what this massive thing on my head, so I'll tell everybody, because Gideon's doing double knee drops off the couch, but I beat him. I did. No. So just let everybody know that's what that is. So let's just move past it now. It's awkward. But as I'm cultivating this, as I'm working on this thing called love, my wife and I, we do it as a team, but you're there to support. And true love, true sacrificial love, where you lay down your life for someone else, that doesn't mean you're dying. It means you're laying down your life, your energy, your spirit. You're laying it down to the side so that someone else can grow and someone else can live. And then, guys, welcome to marriage. We do it at each other's expense. You don't want it to. You want it to everything be healthy and dandy all the time, but guess what? There are just times in your life that cultivating also means pruning. And true love says, I will go this process with you. I'll take this journey with you in order for you to be everything that God has called you to be. And so to finish up, let's just say it again. We need to pray, ask God for it. Number two, it's a sacrificial type love. And the words that come out of our mouth matter to the seeds that we put in the ground. So at this point, I'm going to just make a real simple transition as I go to close. And actually, I'm going to be staying up here with you today. There's a Burt's fundraiser for the teens at Burt's Chuck Wagon. And most of the team's gone already. So I'm going to be closing down service in just a second. But what I'd like to say now is, if you're here and you've never said yes to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we will never close a service without giving you an opportunity to say yes to him. I already shared the story of how he stepped out of heaven onto earth in order to die for you. And by the way, does that mean that one day when you die, you'll be in heaven? Yes. But I have better news for you than just that. That means right now, you can have the peace of God living with you here on earth. And whatever the storms of your life are going through right now, this love that you just can't comprehend, it wants to have a personal relationship with you. And it's as simple as this. The scriptures say that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, you're saved. There is not 12 classes that you have to go through. There's no quiz at the end. It's just simply Would you like to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because you know what true love is? True love is attractive. You know, I think mankind has done a fascinating job ruining the name of Jesus on a regular basis. We've had wars in his name. We've had political fights and misunderstandings in his name. But you know, when we get out of the way and we just promote Jesus for who Jesus is, he's a very attractive. Why? Because true love draws. And the true love of Jesus Christ is this. He's drawing you today to say that he's died for you because he wants to live with you. In just a second, I'm going to say, if anybody's here and you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand in the air. But could we all do this in order to honor those around us? Because in a crowd this size, someone could be very intimidated for doing this. Could I just ask everyone to close your eyes? If you want to bow your heads, feel free. I'm also talking to you online right now. If you're watching us and today's the day you're ready to make a decision, I'm going to ask you to say the prayer. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but also send us a quick note. Let us know about your decision today. But if you're here right now and you are ready to move into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you today, could I just ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you made that decision? I see those hands. Praise God. Praise God. And again, if you're watching us online, I'm going to invite you to say this same prayer with us that I ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day on, I follow you. God, I thank you for every decision that was made, every life that's been changed. But God, I also very much want to say thank you for this self-sacrificing love that you have for mankind. Where we abuse and we hurt, where we try to tear off, God, you're constantly trying to mend and sow in love. So on this day, God, as we begin our conversation for fruit of the Spirit, I ask that you give us insight of what this type of love is really all about. And any place in our life where we're missing it, help us cultivate it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey.